I'm not sure if this has ever happened to you, but where you're reading scriptures over a few weeks, different passages in the Bible, and it seems like there's a common theme, the same thing keeps popping up and popping up. And well, this happened to me a couple weeks ago, and finally I was like, okay, God, I get it. You're trying to tell me something here. And but also for me, it seems like quite often that is sometimes things that I didn't really want to deal with or have to think about. And like self-control, that's not a fun topic. I mean, right here in Hebrews 12:11, God says, no discipline seems good at the time, but painful. And later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And I feel like self-discipline and self-control and discipline just seem to go together. And I don't like pain or being disciplined. I like comfort and ease. But as I said, I felt like God showed me a lot of scriptures in regards to self-control, and especially in these last days. I was amazed at how many there was. I'm just going to show you a little video that I recently saw. It's a news clip, actually.
When we came across this and saw it being used in other societies, we said, why not us? Why not us bring it and provide a solution that we can use for so many different things?
Wow, safe to say we might be living in the end times. I find this absolutely surreal and, just crazy. 1 Thessalonians 5:2-6 says, "For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, while people are saying peace and safety." Or what I've heard so many times people saying lately is, "Take care, be safe." Destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are the children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake, alert, on guard, sober. Not just blindly following along what the rest of the world is doing. And, you know, when I was reading Titus 2, and it was so interesting to me, I didn't never notice this before, but that's the scripture that talks about teach the older men to, you know, be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled. Then it goes on to talk about teaching the older women to be, reverent, not slanderous, self-controlled, the younger women to be self-controlled, the younger men to be self-controlled. I think it's fair to say that no matter whether you're young or old, man or woman, God is saying, be self-controlled. And, you know, that scripture goes on to say in verse 11 and 12, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." But, you know, I think it's easy for us to think, oh, a little bit of, you know, a little lack of self-control. What's the big deal? Well, let's see what God says about it in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. He says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people." Yikes. I think God puts it, he puts it right up there with being abusive, slanderous, brutal, that we do not want to be those people. And in fact, he says, have nothing to do with those kind of people. This is not something that God takes lightly. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power and love and self-control. So there's always good news with God, right? So this is the good news. God has given us the spirit of self-control already. We already have what we need for it. You know, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart and he's Lord over your life, then baby, you got it. You already have what you need inside of you. The spirit of power, love, and self-control is in you. So thank God that we don't have to try to do this on our own, right? You know, it's absolutely impossible. And I think only with God's power can we live with the self-control and the discipline that he's calling us to. You know, do you ever wish that you could just somehow never stumble in your walk with God? You know, your faith. But he tells us here in 2 Peter 1, 3-11, how to do that. And then also that we will receive a rich welcome to heaven. Hopefully you can see that all right. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that he's been cleansed from his sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the kingdom of heaven of our Lord Jesus, Savior Jesus Christ. Somehow it sounds to me like this is not going to be easy. You know, he says, make every effort. And he says it several times. So, I mean, this is not going to be an easy thing. You know, yes, God has given us his spirit of self-control, but we are the ones that have to choose to put down our flesh and to walk in that spirit of self-control. And it's going to take effort, clearly, because God says over and over again, make every effort to do this. You know, I have had the privilege of helping people with what I do on a regular basis of breaking old habits and replacing them with easy habits. And I think it's fair to say almost never have I seen that be easy for anyone. You know, it's simple, but it's not easy. And breaking old habits, like being consumed with fear, gossip, gluttony, pornography, whatever it is, that unhealthy or sinful habit is not usually easily broken without effort. It takes effort. And I believe that that's why God tells us to make every effort to be self-controlled. So I read a story about a husband and wife that were having an argument. And the husband was just baffled because every time they argued, the wife was just so calm and self-controlled. Okay, clearly this is not a story about our family. But anyways... So anyways, this was starting to get on his nerves. He's like, okay, you know, so finally he says to her, every time we argue, you are just so calm and self-controlled. How do you do it? And she's like, well, I just go and clean the toilet. And he's like, well, like, how does that help? What's that do? And she says, simple. I use your toothbrush. Not recommended, but be careful how you treat your wives. You know, there are many stories in the Bible of people that we can learn from that missed their calling and their destiny because of a lack of self-control. You know, if you look at the Israelites, God had so much planned for them, their promised land. But they, you know, it was so much that, like, they couldn't even picture or imagine everything that God had for them there. But they missed it because of a lack of self-control. They were murmuring, they were complaining, they were gossiping, they worshiped false idols, and they chose not to take control over themselves, and they missed out. And you know, we might say, well, I would never bow down to worship an idol, like, of course, right? But what you are letting rule in your life becomes an idol. What occupies your thoughts the most, you're probably putting it before God. And in these days, fear can quickly rise up and become an idol. You know, we focus so much on you know, social media and what the news is saying and, you know, what other people are saying, that it's easy for that fear to rise up. And honestly, we can let that fear rise up so much that we miss the calling that God has for us if we choose not to take control over those thoughts. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I mean, obviously, the pattern of this world right now is fear and scarcity, right? You know, all the what ifs. And I have to say, honestly, that I see almost just as many Christians falling into this pattern of fear, all this chaos, as non-Christians. And that's not how it should be. We have a spirit of power and love and self-control in us. But it all starts in our thoughts. And what you put in is what meditates and rolls around and brews in there. You know, I mean, if you think about it, if you put coffee in your coffee maker, you expect coffee to come out. You don't put coffee in the coffee maker the night before and then go in the morning with your cup and expect to get hot chocolate, right? We know that what we put in is what comes out. And if we're putting all the fear and the negative inside of us, that's what's going to come out. And that's what's going to roll around in our minds and have an effect over our spirits and our minds. But we all have a choice, and it's completely up to each one of us if we're going to let a lack of self-control keep us from our promised land and all the amazing things that God has for us. I mean, it even takes self-control to read your Bible. I don't know. At least it does for me. I don't know if you guys are like me, but, you know, I'll open up my Bible and, okay, read a, you know, one sentence, and it's like, oh, what should I make for supper tonight? Oh, no, okay, come back. Okay, well, what are we going to do tomorrow? Blah, blah, blah. Like, right? Like, it's just like, it seems like I'm often having to bring myself back, that self-control to actually get the scripture and to meditate on it so I can hear what God wants to say to me. You know, but the amazing and really cool thing about self-control is that it's like a muscle. And the more you develop it, the easier it gets. And then it just becomes who you are. But it all starts with a decision. You know, a decision that only you can make for you. The decision that you want to do, as God tells each one of us to do, to make every effort. I think we have a picture there. Every effort to be self-controlled. So we want to work that self-control muscle and let it build. I just wanted to share a few practical ways that I feel like we can develop self-control, and I'm sure you have some ideas too. First of all, you need to know your why. Why do you want to even have self-control? Why is this important to you? Why do you even care about it for you? Your deep down reason. And I always encourage people to write down their why and put it somewhere that they're going to see it lots of times every day so that it keeps coming back to them and helps them stay focused on that thing. And then secondly, have an accountability partner, someone that you know will check up on you and help you to succeed. We are way more likely to do the right thing if we know that someone's going to be checking up on us. And of course, practice relying on the Holy Spirit. You know, scripture is clear that we cannot do this on our own, and we can't fully develop and walk without the Holy Spirit's power. And I really encourage you to put scripture up around your house. If you've ever been in my house, you probably see lots of scripture, my fridge, my mirror, my everywhere, because I need to constantly be reminded of this. And for example, if you struggle with fear, then put up scriptures like 2 Timothy 1 says, so you can remind yourself that God has not given you that spirit of fear. So if that spirit of fear tries to rise up inside of you, you can remind yourself, no, I have not been given a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. And sometimes you got to say it like you mean it. So, you know, like to yourself can hear it, but also so that the enemy can, when he's trying to bring that spirit of fear upon you, you remind him, no, I have not been given this spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. And self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So if you find you're lacking it, I encourage you to up your relationship with Jesus. You know, prayer, reading, meditating on God's word, worship, and just obeying him, even in the hard stuff or the uncomfortable stuff, because each one of us has a choice to make for ourselves. Proverbs 25:28 says, "Like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control." You know, in Bible times, city walls were like miles high and miles wide. In fact, they were so wide that that like chariots and horses could run along the top of the wall. So they were huge. And so the walls were built so big to protect the entire city and everyone that was in it and all the stuff that was in it. So if the city walls were broken down, obviously they not, had no protection. They were just open to the enemy to take over. They were defenseless. Not having self-control can open us up to the enemy's attacks. It's very serious. I've seen it personally happen, and it's not a good thing. We do not want to open ourselves up to the enemy's attacks just because of a lack of self-control. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." So you need to remind him and you that you are not accepting that. Take control of yourself and bring it in line with what Scripture says. We can just so easily become entangled with, you know, all the things that we don't want to. Even though we know they're bad for us, it's so easy for our flesh to fall into that. And you know what? It's very powerful. And we need to make every effort not to fall into those temptations, to stay far away from the things that are causing us to lose our self-control. You know, if you struggle with eating unhealthy food, then don't go to the local ice cream shop. If you struggle with pornography, then don't go on the internet, especially when you're alone. And for sure, don't go to Vegas, whatever you do. You know, there's just things that we need to do to set ourselves up to have self-control. And sometimes we have to limit who we spend our time with, too. You know, is there someone that you talk to regularly? After you're done talking to them, you just find that you're filled up with fear or anxiety, or, you know, do you have a friend that you always seem to gossip with? You know, well, then God says, make every effort not to do that and to take self-control over that. Sometimes we have to have the courage to speak up and say, I'm not going to do that. And sometimes we need to remove ourselves from situations. You know, I like to think of it as fuel. So like, I tell myself often, is this food, if I eat it, is it going to fuel my good health or is it going to fuel disease in my body? You know, is this that I'm watching, is it fueling my spirit towards God or towards the worldly way? Are the words I'm speaking fueling love and peace and joy, or are they fueling fear, dissension, and hurt? You know, if it's away from God, I encourage you to grab that and take control of your thoughts and your actions. One of my absolute favorite stories, I think it maybe is my favorite book in the Bible, Esther. And you know, it's quite a short book, but it's a very interesting saga. I mean, it's like the soap operas nowadays are like nothing compared to this. It's crazy. It starts with this exuberant king, right? And he throws huge, lavish parties. Everyone that comes to his parties has a custom-made cup made out of gold just for them. And, you know, there's marble pillars and silver rings and all kinds of stuff. And, of course, booze is just flowing freely. Everybody can drink as much as they want. And so when he asks his wife to do one thing and she doesn't do it, one commentary I read mentioned that it was actually very offensive in her culture for him to ask her to come to him in the situation and the state that he was in. So she wasn't just being a bag and, you know, not doing what he asked. It was a very offensive thing what he was asking of her. But anyways, when she didn't do it, she was out, gone, done like dinner. This guy is not messing around. She was out of there, and he means business, and he wants what he wants, and do not dare go against him. Well, then there's this young Jewish girl from a lowly family. She was an orphan and basically came from a prison camp. Can you imagine how terrified Esther must have been? How terrified Mordecai, her uncle, must have been. He was supposed to be taking care of her, and he's telling her to go and do this. And I just thought it was interesting, because if you think that he wasn't concerned about her, in Esther 2:11 says, every day he walked back and forth near the courtyard of the harem to find out how Esther was and what was happening to her. Like, can you just imagine him walking up and down, wondering what's going on with her, like pacing, right? Well, we don't know for sure what was going on in Mordecai's mind, but I mean, I'm pretty sure I know what I would have been doing for sure, what would have been going through my mind. all the what ifs. You know, what if she does something wrong and the king finds out? What if he cuts her head off? What if, you know, what if he decides he doesn't like her and he kicks her out? Whatever, you know, all the what ifs. What if he finds out she's just a lowly orphan? And Mordecai was human, so I'm sure he was probably tempted to let those thoughts go through his mind. And probably had, you know, times that he had to choose to clearly stop and control himself and take control. He was concerned, but he had to have self-control over those thoughts and fears, and thank God that he did. And how about Esther? I mean, she's not even the nationality that she's supposed to be for this position. She's a young girl, and you can be guaranteed that the devil did not want her to follow through with this because, you know, I mean, this was a big thing for God's people. And so I'm sure that, you know, I'm guessing she was probably a little freaked out. I mean, how absolutely terrifying. But clearly, as the story goes on, we see that she chose self-control to put down that fear and to be obedient to God and the wisdom that her uncle gave to her and to go right into that situation, to be bold and walk in the calling that God had for her to her promised land. You know, when you choose self-control, that life is life-changing for you, but it's also life-changing for all those around you. And I mean, if you share anything on social media, it's probably life-changing for people that you don't even know when you choose to walk in self-control, because you're walking in your calling. 1 Peter 4:7 says, "The time is near when all things will end. So keep your minds clear and control yourselves." This is about you. This is about what you choose, the choices that you make. No one can choose self-control for another person. Each one of us must do it for ourselves. But I'll tell you, after reading these scriptures, I feel like, you know, especially Proverbs 25:28 that says we're like a city whose walls are broken down if we don't take self-control, I know that I'm going to up my self-control game. You know, this is not a time to become apathetical or to let things slide. I fully believe we are living in the end times. And it is very important for us to live with self-control, to walk in our calling and our destiny. We do not want to miss the promised land that God has for us while we are here. He has things for us while we're here to accomplish, to do, to bless us with, and we don't want to miss that. We need to recognize the value and the seriousness of what God's calling us to be self-controlled. But I also want you to remember that you cannot do it on your own, that it's only with the power of the Holy Spirit that we need to rely on his power to give us that self-control the way he calls us to. And to ask him for his help, rely on him. As he says, make every effort. It's time for us to rise up as Christians. You know what? To stop being sucky and wimpy and like, come on, rise up and let that spirit of power and love and self-control do its thing. Let's let have God have control in our lives so that we're not just sliding along. Like, come on, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease, right? Like, we can hear, you know, all kinds of people, sinful things getting passed and happening in the world. But what are we doing about it? I hope we're praying about it, but it's also time for us to speak up and let God's power and love and self-control be in control. And I'm not saying being nasty or rude or ignorant or whatever. It is a spirit of love as well. And we need to come with the love of Christ, just like he did when he was here on earth. I don't want any one of us to miss our calling. And I know that having self-control is not easy. But I firmly believe that with God and with self-control, there is nothing that we cannot accomplish. And no matter what it is, there is no lack of self-control in any area that you're going to come to God and he is going to be surprised or, you know, not know that it's happening because he sees and knows everything and he sees and knows it all already. And I just encourage you that if you are struggling with a lack of self-control in any area, to take it to the Lord, to find someone that will help you be accountable, and to really ask God to help you with it, because he wants to help you with it. He wants to help you overcome that, no matter what it is. And whether in the world's eyes it's a great big horrible thing or it's just a little tiny thing, this is between you and God, and you know what you need to have self-control over. So I'm just going to pray this morning. But before I do, I wanted to say, I know that, I mean, if you want one of Pastor Aaron or myself to pray for you for self-control, sometimes when you're going through something and you have a lack of self-control in it, it almost feels like you just can't get your head above the water. You know, I mean, I understand. And it feels like I want to do the right thing, but I can't seem to do it. And it's, I want to have self-control, but it's not an easy thing to do. And so if you'd like us to pray for you, we would be happy to do that afterwards. The other thing is I want to say that if you would like for me to pray for you, and it would be completely confidential. If you just wanted to text me, you could just text me, and it would be completely confidential, and I would just know to pray for you. You wouldn't even have to tell me what it's for. If that's another option. So if you don't want to come up to get prayed, but you want to just text me, 403-363-4813 is my number, and you can just text and ask me to pray for you, and I will completely do that, and it will be totally confidential. So that's another option as well. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you, God, for your Spirit that is upon us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us. Thank you, God, that whatever you call us to do, you equip us. God, we believe that we are living in the end times, and we do not take this lightly, Father. God, I pray for each one here, Lord, that you would seal in our hearts and minds what we've received this morning. Thank you, God, that you promise that your word does not return to you void, but goes forth to accomplish what you desire. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, God, for calling us to live with self-control and to make every effort to do that. Lord, that we would fulfill the plans and the purposes that you have for us, God. Thank you, Lord, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we want you to have all the glory and honor and praise for every good thing in our lives. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.